Well, I'm lucky today because I have some music to bring me in on the show, and I think you're lucky, too, to have a beautiful guitar work right behind me. Arts Live and Local is coming up right now.
Que sem compromisso empurra a carpa com isso no soneio pai João. A quem trouxe você foi o ele faça papel de louca pra não haver bate boca dentro do salão. Você só dança com ele, diz que sem compromisso. Embo a carpa com isso, no soneio pai João. Quem trouxe você foi o ele faça papel de louca. Pra não haver bate-boca dentro do salão. Quando tá calçando, ele tira pra dançar. Você me diz, eu agora tenho par. E sai dançando com ele, alegre e feliz. Quando para o som, bate palma e pede pista. Você só dança com ele, diz que sem compromisso. Empurra a carpa com isso no soneio pai João. A quem trouxe você foi o ele faça papel de louca. Pra não haver bate boca dentro do salão. Quando tá calçando, eu lhe tiro pra dançar. Você me diz, eu agora tenho par. E sai dançando com ele, alegre e feliz. Quando para o samba, bate palma e pede bis. Você só dança com ele, diz que sem compromisso. Emboa a carpa com isso, no soneio pai João. A quem trouxe você foi o ele faça papel de louca. Pra não haver bate boca dentro do salão. Quando tá calçando, eu lhe tiro pra dançar. Você me diz, eu agora tenho par. E sai dançando com ele, alegre, feliz. Quando para o samba, bate palma e pede bis.
Thank you so much. What a delightful surprise. For full disclosure, I had no idea what we were going to hear. I just knew it was going to be good. But, oh, my goodness, that was just gorgeous.
Well, thank you very
Adlai much. Adlai Anderson is my guest.
Actually, my last name is Alexander, in fact.
Alexander.
Yes, well, yes.
That's much more fitting. Where did I get?
Well, more syllables anyway.
Well, you know what? I made you into a Scandinavian. That's what happened. You come to Scandinavian land. And Adlai is here because tonight he will be playing at the Cannon Beach History Center at about 7:30, I believe,
yes,
the concert
that's
is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you are from Portland.
Yes. Well, I live in Portland now.
You live. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Reno, Nevada.
Whoa.
Yes, that's okay. Where I went to grade school and high school, and then subsequently moved to the Bay Area and went to college there at Stanford, in fact, in Palo Alto. And then my wife and I, in about 2001, late 2001, early 2002, moved to Portland.
So where did this music come from? You didn't study music at Stanford, did you?
I actually studied psychology there.
I'm thinking, I don't think that's what they're known for somehow.
No, and my parents would not have gone for that either, you know. They wouldn't want to pay for that.
Right.
But
right.
I played a lot of music while I was there, though.
Had you been playing since childhood?
Well, I started playing the guitar when I was 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to that, I was always interested in music and you know, listened to a lot of music and sang.
Did you listen to jazz? And especially Brazilian jazz? Where did this come from?
Oddly enough, I started to enjoy bossa novas. And my earliest memories were going to the movie theaters with my mom and hearing Jobim songs. I didn't know they were Jobim songs at that time.
Yes.
But as I got older, I said, hey, those are those songs that they used to play between movies, you know, in the movie theaters and things like that. And a lot of my friends thought that they were...
That's what I was going to ask you. Did any of your friends listen to this?
Well, they thought they're corny. They thought they were these corny songs that were before. But I just loved the melodies and the soft, subtle harmonies,
right,
and things like
and
that.
And you didn't even really know what it was, where it was from. You just knew it was
exactly
beautiful and
exactly
felt good.
Yes.
Wow. So then did you study guitar, or how does it come to where you are today, which is just magnificent?
Well, thank you so much. When I was in school, I played a lot of rock music and folk music. And after I went to college, I was very fortunate to meet Tuck Andrus of Tuck and Patty. He was he was my teacher. He was my teacher at the in Palo Alto, and he and Patty became very good friends of mine. So he was kind of my mentor for a long time, and I studied under him and became the tour manager, in fact, for a while, and traveled with them.
Nice. And do you have a day job, if I might ask?
I teach guitar. Yes.
Wow. So your parent, I don't know if they're still with us, but boy, would they be going, look, for this we sent him to Stanford. Yeah,
yes, they just might, but I think that they kind of,
they were thrilled with what you're doing.
After a while, yes. After a while, they said, well, if that's what makes him happy.
And if that's what he's good at, too. I mean, you're probably good at the other, too, but this is so special.
Well, thank you. Really,
I really
wonderful. Enjoy teaching as well.
Yeah. So do you get much opportunity to sing and play in Portland?
Yes, I do. You know, I took kind of a hiatus for a long time after my son was born in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for a while, I kind of lay low and hung out and was dad for a while and was, entirely happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
And he started to study the guitar with me and started playing
Sweet.
As well. And so we had a good association that way. But I just fairly recently, I decided to get out more spread my music as
Absolutely.
Much as I could.
Absolutely, and the joy. And you connected with Cannon Beach History Center. How?
Well, I saw my friend and colleague, John Stoll.
Ah, yes. We did mention John, who has been right here where you're sitting.
He's
a wonderful jazz guitarist.
He and I taught at the Stanford Jazz Workshop a few years ago. Well, probably about a decade ago.
Oh.
And we talked together. And we taught together there. And that's where I first met him, was mm-hmm. in the Bay Area. Not only did we teach together, but he was so good and such a marvelous teacher that I studied with him as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we became connected that way. And I knew that he had a lot of connections in Oregon here well. So we've stayed in touch over the years. And fortunately, he's agreed to play a few songs with me tonight at the
Lovely.
Gig.
This is going to be an amazing gig, actually. Again, this is at the Cannon Beach History Center this evening at 7:30 p.m. And have you been over there yet?
I have not.
Because it's a lovely place. It's more than a playing room. I mean, it's got a whole setup there, and it's, it'll be good.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. And are you going to be playing anywhere else in this area?
Well, I'd like to. You mean on the coast here?
Mm-hmm.
In the near future, I'm not sure. Who knows? I hope to be.
Well, I'm sure that people up here and down there and all around would love to have you come and play for us, because this is unusual. Do you play other than this was Brazilian jazz?
Yes.
You know what's funny is your do you speak Portuguese?
I sing in Portuguese. I don't speak Portuguese. Okay. When I first started playing jazz, I learned a lot of the bossa novas, like Girl from Ipanema, mm-hmm. and Meditation, and those types of standards, those bossa nova standards. And I never was satisfied with the English lyrics for those, mm-hmm. the translations for mm-hmm. those. Specifically, the Girl from Ipanema, once I heard the Portuguese translation of that, it was just such a beautiful poem. And I thought the American translation was so trite mm-hmm. that I had a friend of mine from Brazil in the Bay Area, in exchange for a bottle of wine and a little company, he would coach me through pronunciation and translation of the Portuguese in a lot of these bossa novas.
You know, it's true that because that song in particular, has been... What did your friend say? Corny kind of thing. It was almost overdone.
Yes, absolutely.
But when you hear it done in Portuguese and done well, it's a gorgeous piece of music.
Absolutely.
And I think we here in the United States grew into this. Brazilian music was not popular, really.
Right.
When we were younger, and it has become a lot of people play it here on various shows, and so. Lucky for us. Now, do you play other music as well? You said you used to do rock and roll and folk.
Yes, and I still do those types of music as well. You know, I'll go into the studio. I produced an album last year, a rock album for a musician in Nevada, in fact. Mm-hmm. And so I play that type of music as well. I've written a couple of musicals. In fact, I wrote a musical that we for a wonderful theater company called George Coates Performance Works in San Francisco. And we took that one down to Brazil, in fact, at a theater festival in Sao Paulo.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my chance to get down there as well.
Yes.
So, yeah, quite a few things. I write for dance and you know, I'll arrange things for string orchestras and things like that.
Well, now that I've got your name right, I'm going to make sure to watch for it. Adlai Alexander, and from Portland at this point, and playing tonight at the Cannon Beach History Center at 7:30, but hopefully we'll be playing in other parts of our listening. And you're going to leave me some music, you said?
Certainly.
Great.
I will.
So we will be hearing you on my folk show, and I'm sure other people will be playing it as well.
Oh, well, I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for coming in. I wish you were closer. We'd have you in for a whole show. Not this, but, you know, because this is short bits, but you could just come in and play on a jazz show some night.
I would love to do that.
We do a lot of jazz on this station.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, my wife and I come down, and, you know, occasionally. I would love to do that. Come up and do that.
We'll talk.
All right.
Okay, and I have your email, so we'll be in touch. Thank you so much for coming, and thank you for the beautiful introduction and the beautiful
music. Thank you so much,
music.
And thanks for having me.
Okay. Adlai Alexander, my guest here, and tonight you can catch him at the Cannon Beach History Center, 7:30 p.m. And John Stowell, our good friend, will be playing some numbers with him. Stay tuned for lots more here on Coast Community Radio, and I have some music from Maggie Kitson and the Maggie Kitson Band, because she's going to be playing at the Fort George this Sunday evening. Have a listen. The Tomasian Trio usually plays with her. I'm not sure who's on this one. Thanks for being here. Beyond the sky, it's been a long
Such a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh yes it will. So I go to the movie and I go downtown. People keep telling me, Maggie, don't have.
Well, that change is here. The change is right here in this studio right now, as a matter of fact. And that is that KMUN is in its 31st year. Let me just tell you, you were listening to Maggie Kitson. And it's Maggie Kitson and T3 with special guests. They're going to be at the Fort George at 8 p.m. on Sunday. Maggie is always a great show. And so is T and his three. So do join them. And thanks, Heidi, for bringing in the music and making it available to all of us. So our station manager, Joanne Rideout, is here. And Joanne, what's happening?
Well, what's happening is KMUN's 30th birthday party is happening.
Yeehaw!
Tomorrow night at the Moose in Astoria. This is going to be a really fun party. It's going to begin about 6 p.m. and run probably until midnight or so. It's going to be really neat. The Moose is kind of a historic venue for KMUN.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think back to the origins of the station, 1983, it was one of the few venues around where you could have a party.
For live music and dancing. Yeah.
And so there's been a lot of KMUN events held over the years at the Moose, and we're really happy to sort of bring it around again and have our party there. So it's going to start. I'm going to give you a little bit of a rundown of the
sure.
entertainment. Pretty terrific stuff. Retta Christie will go on performing at 6:30, and will perform until 7:15. Then Willapa Hills will be on from 7:30 to 8:15. At 8:15, we're going to cut the cake, courtesy of Carrie Gallagher. Carrie is making this fabulous cake. She's
one
of our board members and a programmer of Acoustic
anybody
Crunch.
Anybody who's ever been to a Bob Marley birthday party knows
Carrie Gallagher's cakes. And so we're so grateful to her for that. So we're going to do that. Harriet Baskus, the first manager
yes.
and one of one of the founding person, wasn't she, of KMUN?
Well, she was our first manager.
First manager.
Yeah, and KBOO actually gave a grant once Rebecca and her crew got the FCC clearance, which only took 5 years, mind you.
Oh, my goodness.
And then KBOO wrote a grant, and with that grant, they sent, I guess Harriet was the only one who they kind of all turned and looked at her. Hey,
like,
Harriet,
oh, wouldn't you like
go
to be manager? I know that feeling.
Yeah, you do, don't you?
And so Harriet's going to be here, and I've
Excellent.
Asked her at our cake cutting to
mm-hmm.
talk about the station's origins, because we sort of, you know, I know some things that I know aren't even quite right. And so I want her to really tell the story of how it started, and there'll be other people there who can speak up as well. And so it'll be a time for people to reminisce.
Okay.
We're going to do that for about half an hour, and Then the Pagan Pancakes are coming out at 8:45. Yeehaw. They're going to play till 10. And after that, at 10:15, Holiday Friends will take us through the rest of the evening until about 11:30. And during the birthday party time when we have the cake, the Lazy Boys, that's Larry Moore and John Fenton, are going to play.
Cool.
We're
going to
do the Brownsmead birthday song, among others, for
How
our birthday.
How appropriate,
And
yes.
So that's going to be wonderful. And the event is, we're going to have food. Food from Astoria Business O Falafel, if you've ever had their food.
Yes.
They are right over there on, what is it, Duane?
Duane and 13th. It's a nice
cart there. They have a truck, a food cart, and oh man, they make Middle Eastern food and they are fabulous.
Yes, so. And it's, I have to say, I've been waiting 35 years for this food and they finally came and
it's wonderful.
Put it out
and
for
so
us.
And so they have given us a smoking deal on this catering.
Fantastic.
I mean, they are, and the catering is being paid for from a very generous donation from a member who prefers to remain anonymous, but you know who you are. Thank you so much for this. So it's going to be a wonderful evening. There is no cover charge to get in. We are asking for a donation at the table when you take a plate of food just to cover our costs for the event. And the bands are donating their time for this event. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have tip jars there for the bands. So we're asking people to be generous because these folks are, they're all working musicians and they're giving their time to the station. So
and
what a wonderful event.
And a lot of them are either present or past programmers mm-hmm. and have, or come in for pledge drives or whatever it is. They really believe in Coast Community Radio or they wouldn't be coming. And we know you do too or you wouldn't be listening. So please do join us.
And so I just want to say a couple of other things. Kids are welcome to this event. They can't go up to the bar and order a drink, of course, but kids are welcome if you want to bring kids. And we had originally scheduled this event for upstairs at the new space in Fort George. And we still have our eye on that. It's just taking longer than we all anticipated for that all to be finished.
Which is what always happens, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And this is an artisan project. Yeah. It's gorgeous. It's going to be fabulous. So later on, when that's all completed and it works for those folks who are wonderful supporters of the station, Fort George, we
mm-hmm.
love those folks.
More programmers,
dearly.
Too.
And we'll have an event there as well. But we wanted to have we had advertised this April 27th birthday party. We really wanted to honor that.
And our birthday was the 17th. We turned 30. We're in our 31st year.
So
it is time for a party.
We're still in our birthday month. And
you
so
bet.
That's about all I can
that's
say about
great.
It. Be there.
Thanks,
you know, come on down about 6 o'clock to the Moose. And the Moose, by the way, is 17th and Exchange, between Duane and Exchange. It's right near the Bowpicker Fish and Chips near the Maritime Museum.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
okay.
Carol.
Come and join us. Party. And my next guests are waiting right out there, I think. Are they ready to come on in? Let's see. I'm going to give you some music first. Some music from Armenia. I want to send that out in commemoration of, the Armenian Massacre is basically what it is. It was the first genocide of the 20th century, and I think people have finally come to accept that. And it's 1915 is when it happened in Turkey. Beautiful, beautiful music from Armenia. May there be peace. My next guests certainly know how to bring peace and have a good time, too. They are from Trails End Gallery in Gearhart. I have Kitty Pano here. Hi, Kitty.
Hi.
And Ellen Zimmet.
Hi, how are you?
And Ellen, you have actually a job there. Is this a volunteer job?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
I try for a pay raise at a regular basis.
Yeah, really, really. You know, it's really funny. We all have jobs. And funny about that, we all have the same pay. So you are the publicity person for...
Publicity and sort of organization with programs and trying to...
Oh, okay.
We try to do a lot of interesting things during the summer where we have the locals as well as a lot more guests from the Portland and Seattle area.
Yeah, so we do a fabulous job of bringing all kinds of artists in.
We're bringing artists in and hopefully people.
Oh, yeah. Very important.
Yes.
And we'll get back to that because I understand you have something new this year with Children's Art Camp as well. Now, Kitty, you are actually the featured artist, and this will be not this Saturday, but a week from Saturday.
Correct.
Is that right? On
Correct.
The 4th of May.
Right.
So what are you doing these days?
Well,
what are you going to be showing us? I'm a fan of Kitty Pano's art.
Yes,
some
for
of you
sure.
have gotten cards from me from Kitty. I have flowers above my, you know, all kinds of things. Tell us.
Thank you. Well, I was laid up this year. I had a couple operations. So I couldn't go outside. And so I started doing some still lives and working more with light. And I had been studying Noel Thomas and Sheila Parsons at Trails End. They do such beautiful light. So I have a lot of acrylics with a lot of light in them this time.
So when you say light, are they representational as well? Or?
Right. Okay. Yes, they're usually pretty much still lives or things where light's going to bounce off of things.
You said still lives. That's true. So, for example, what kind of things do you put?
Oh, I got a wonderful... Saturday market bowl last year from a good friend, and so it got painted over and over. The sun came out in February. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah. And let me think back.
Right. So you painted the bowl or things in
the bowl?
The bowl,
yeah, really. And then some, you know, fruit, which was rotting in the bowl because it was
rotting.
Winter.
Right.
Was that one of yours in the Coast Weekend?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Oh.
That was in the Coast Weekend.
Oh, I have the Coast Weekend right.
It's got a very nice article in there.
And also, what to do with your paintings you want to throw away, and I do a lot of collages with that stuff. So everything I messed up, I made into
a
collage.
Paintings that you want to throw away.
Mm-hmm. You tear them up and you make a collage. Yeah, that's.
And they on canvas or on paper?
They're on canvas. Those are on canvas.
Oh, ooh, this is gorgeous. You have pears. You know, if you hadn't told me, I wouldn't have known they were
rotting.
They're
rotting.
But now that you mention it, I can see that the bottom is kind of brownish.
Right.
But it looks just like the light is happening. Oh, that's gorgeous. Lots of delicious colors, though. I like the way you... Now, was this real, or did you just fill in the background?
No, it was...
Because the bowl has the... I'm going to use ordinary terms, like purple and green.
Right.
And the background is also... purple and green reversed.
That, yes.
Did you actually set it up that way?
Yeah. Well,
or did you
I made that up, Carol.
Here, I'm getting secrets out of her.
What I've learned after years of painting, many, too many to discuss, that it is really the artist's choice is what they put into the painting.
It is, but for those of us who don't paint, it's kind of interesting to know, did you actually have to have a green table and a purple wall?
No.
Okay, so you put the, and then you just complemented the colors.
Right.
Well, that makes it a little easier for, not that I could paint, but at least I understand.
Oh, you could do it. I know you
sure.
could.
Sure. I know. Kristen Schock, who will be on later, always says anybody can paint. However, some of us don't quite agree with that. So 2 till 6 p.m. on Saturday. What's fun about Trails End is that they have their openings the same day as Seaside's first Saturday opening, but they make it a little bit earlier, so you can, especially if you're up north, which Kitty and Ellen and I are, wander down, stop at Trails End for a couple of hours, and then head down to
Canada. And we promise fabulous goodies this time.
Ooh.
Wine and cheese and yummies.
And yummies. Well, and the Trails End is 656 A Street. in Gearheart, and I wish you good luck. But what I found the easiest thing to do is ask somebody, because you can see the building out there, but sometimes it's hard to figure out how to get there. Can you just turn down A Street that direction?
Mm-hmm. You take a left on Pacific. Well, what's Cottage? On Cottage, and a left on A
right.
Street.
Yes, yeah. Correct. Yeah. So you can't just get there.
You can't go through the yard.
I know, but you can see the building.
You can see the building.
So I failed to mention, of course, that Ellen would not be there doing this job of hers if she too weren't an artist. And for fuller disclosure, even, you might have gotten a card from me of Ellen's as well.
Thank you.
So I'm an appreciator. So the Trails End is doing programs for adults.
Yes.
And what else is happening this summer?
We're going to do programs every month. We have a new featured artist. And then in probably this year in the month of July, we were usually do it in August, but we thought, let's do something a little different. We will have a variety of artists coming down. We still have Faylene Lynn, who is an internationally known watercolorist. We've got Debbie Stenberg, who is a local, but also well-known art oil painter. We're looking again at Sheila Parsons, that mm-hmm. who is a watercolorist.
And Debbie teaches online for University of Alaska.
Of Alaska.
Oh, wow.
And it's fabulous work. Mm-hmm. And Sheila Parsons is a winner in the Oregon Watercolor Society.
Mm-hmm. Linda Rothschild-Ellis.
Linda Rothschild-Ellis comes down.
So how do people find out about all of these things?
The best way is to go to our website.
Mm-hmm. And that is?
www.trailsandart.org.
Okay.
Because we are a nonprofit organization, and people come down and have a good time, and they also help us support our building. So the good news in that why we're all volunteers,
right, and move that art, and it's a delightful place, and there are different parts to it as well. I've gone there for. You've got jewelry there too.
Yes, we've done, and thanks to Kitty, we've done some really interesting new things in our center office gallery.
Mm-hmm,
so we're putting up a wider variety of art pieces, bowls.
Right. If anybody wants to become a member, which is it's $70 a year and only $35 for mm-hmm. 6 months, they can sell their 3D bowls and art, fine art.
Oh, I see.
And it's only a 15% commission.
Yeah. So for artists listening, mm-hmm. you might want to go to trailsandart.org and check out all of the possibilities. And for all the rest of us who are not visual artists, even though everybody is an artist, I would agree with that, it would be a great opportunity to go on Saturday. And again, the time is 2 to 6. And you can for sure meet Kitty and Ellen and lots of the other artists who are there.
And one more thing that we're going to promote this summer, we're going to have a children's camp. We've done this for a few years. One of our teachers is Rhonda Grudnick, who is a
wonderful.
Fabulous artist in
yes,
herself,
is.
Her own. And she does a puppet camp. I heard that that's going to be featured in one of the Coast Weekend articles. And
mm-hmm.
she will do, and again, you can find out more about it on our
Great.
Website. And then we have a new lady called, from Catherine Ridenour, who is from St. Helens, who's an elementary art teacher, is going to go do some fun stuff.
So it's a happening place.
We try to make it happen.
And there's a lot of variety there because there are many, many artists who participate in Trails End Gallery. Again, it's trailsandart.org. And the opening is, along with all of Seaside, but it's 2 until 6 on Saturday, the 4th of May. Thank you so much for coming in and letting us know about this. And most of all, thanks for all your gorgeous art.
Thank you,
Carol.
That's great. Okay. And I'm going to move along because I still have two more guests. And one of them is like 14 people or something like that. I'm not even sure. I have some music from Retta and her, let's just call it the Retta Christie Trio.
A songbird yearns to sing a love song. The roses yearn just for the dew. The whole world's yearning for the sunrise. I have a yearning too. yearning just for you. That's all I do, my dear. Learning why I'm blue, I wish that you were here. Days have turned to years, smiles have turned to tears. Yearning just for you, I hope that you yearn.
Christy Trio, and again, they are going to be at the Voodoo Room on Saturday night after. That'll be about probably 9 o'clock. But before that, they are going to be part of the KMUN 30th birthday party on Saturday evening. Again, come on over to the Moose, 17th and Duane, and party, party, party. Celebrate our birthday. Well, I have in the studio four people, and I'm going to tell you who they are. Oh, look, this is really nicely drawn out, I can tell
oh,
you.
Yeah. There's it's all set up.
It's all set up. Remember, you have to get to the mic if you're going to say anything. That was Sterling Gorsuch, who is a printmaker and in the photography as well. Why they're here is that Clatsop College has its student art show. This is not until May 16th, but we wanted you to come in and we wanted you to hear from them now so you can get yourselves ready to come. May 16th will be a Thursday evening, which is when all of the openings are, 6 o'clock. And it's everything, as far as I understand, graphic arts, basic design, drawing, painting, ceramics, sculpture, photography, printmaking. It's exhausting. Is that true? Is all that going to be represented?
I'm sweating just hearing you say
that. Yeah. I was wondering about that. So I also have Carrie Zell, who is coming from the 3D Ceramics.
Yes.
And Carrie is one of the people who makes that part of the art department happen. She is Richard Rowland's right-hand woman, and she's the one I talk to all the time, even when I don't know I'm talking to her through the emails.
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to work with Richard Rowland and be up at the college for 3 or 4 years now in the ceramic program and also taking other classes. And of course, we're all three of us are graduating this year, so we're all excited.
Oh.
And yeah, I'm still going to be there, but we're all excited to put our year's work into the program. And
so now, when you're going to graduate with it. An associate's in what?
General studies.
General studies. Okay. My guest whom I didn't know was Alyssa Vernon.
Yes.
Is that right? Welcome,
yes.
Alyssa. Have you been on the show before or any?
No, I
the
haven't.
Radio before? All right. Well, welcome.
This is my first time on the radio.
Welcome. You're the, I don't know about David. I'm not sure.
No, my first as well.
Oh, wow. We've
this
got
is great.
Two. We've got. Sterling, you've been on, haven't you?
Not for this show, no.
Holy, but you've been on
years
KMUN?
Years ago with Bernie.
Oh.
Yeah, that's about it.
Well, then you don't count, see, those two are radio virgins.
No,
it has to be your very first time in order to be that. So Alyssa is in 2D, so what does that mean? What have you been doing?
I have been in the basic design class, the drawing classes, and the painting classes. Painting, mostly. I took 2 years of painting.
So is this with Kristen Chalk?
Yes.
Okay.
And I was also a work study for Kristen for a year and a half, which I absolutely love and I miss now that I'm all done.
So what are you going to do next year, do you know?
I am transferring to OSU to study, fine arts next fall.
Good for you.
So.
Good for you. I didn't ask you, Carrie, what are you going to be doing next year? You're sticking around,
aren't you? I'm staying here for a few more years,
lucky
yes.
for us. I'm great.
Yeah, I can't get enough of the art program.
All right. Sure. Well, this is one of the best, as long as it doesn't get cut. Yep. Mm-hmm. Sterling, I'll get back to you.
Yes,
Sterling,
yes.
You're graduating also, I
yeah,
presume.
Yeah, this is the final term.
Wow. And what are your plans?
I'm actually also becoming a beaver, getting christened as an OSU beaver for the fall, so it's pretty exciting. They've got actually, a lot of people don't realize they have a very strong art department down there, so I'm just going to keep studying printmaking, which is wow. the emphasis of what interests me the most.
So have you been studying with Royal then? Or?
Yeah, two years. This is concluding 2 years of printmaking with him, so it's been very, very steep learning curve for mm-hmm. sure.
Well, this is, it's quite amazing. And then you were also taking photography with, was that?
This is actually my first term taking photography with David Homer here.
Okay.
Great guy.
Our new photography instructor.
Well, that's right. I've been saving him because I wanted to give him a big mazel tov. Congratulations. David Homer is a brand new photography instructor here at the college. Now, have you been teaching before, though?
No, this is my first time teaching a formal classroom. I have taught as a tutor and TA'd at times.
Yeah. Now, aren't you the guy who was standing in the back of the room taking all the pictures for Clatsop College?
for many years. If you've seen on the cover of the schedule, it's probably one of my pictures.
Exactly. And I remember your name, too. And I remember going in one of the back rooms and all these beautiful pictures. And, oh, yeah, those are David's. And so I was delighted when I heard that you were going to be. David Myers is stepping down or has stepped down.
Yes, he has.
So from David to David.
Well, from David to David.
Yeah, you're a different generation, and that's probably a good thing because it's nice to have some young folks coming up and strong. Mm-hmm. Now, will you be teaching, is it a full-time position? Or?
No, it's part-time. Currently, yes.
Okay. And have you stayed in Astoria all this time?
No, after graduating from Clatsop Community College, I went down to the University of Oregon and got my BFA in photography there. After a few years, over the few years after that, I was doing architecture work as a private photographer or personal business.
I think that's some of the stuff I saw, actually.
Did
you have a mother or something up there?
Yes, I do.
I'm trying to put all this together. I know there are a couple of people in this room whose mothers are in the business and in the arts and everything else. Well, it's very exciting. Now, how does this work? Who wants to just quickly tell us? We only have a couple of minutes. Tell us how this show works. Do all of you have work in the show? And David,
well, I do not know. I'm an instructor, so I cannot know.
You don't
well,
get to be.
It has to be juried. And
Michael Foster.
Yeah, Michael Foster is going to be the juror for the show.
Very excited. He's such an art supporter in the community. In fact, I came from Astoria High School. He was my librarian.
Oh, yes.
So, I've been, he and Richard are friends, so I've been around Michael Foster, and he's such a supporter of our receptions. He's always, always up at the college. Yeah. We love Michael. We're happy to have him this year.
Yeah, I was delighted when I read that too, because Michael has done so much for the arts and the community, and so he juried the show. So how does it work? You put
or it hasn't been juried yet, it will be very soon.
So so we can enter, I think, a total of
six pieces this year.
Each. Oh wow!
Yeah.
Okay.
And three from each term class that you've taken.
Okay.
And then we just kind of make them presentable and hope
you bring the chosen ones. You bring them to the gallery and then you go
you
away.
You just let the babies go. Mm-hmm. You just push them out of the nest and
you have to hold your breath and hope that they fly.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Yep. So how do you decide, for example, which of your pieces? Because of course you want the things you think are the best, but also do you look for things that might be unusual?
Well, it's very subjective, but you definitely want to choose what's maybe where you took the most risk, but also was successful, because there's a lot of pieces of art that remain in the closet that don't come out because it's like, well, that was a good idea, but it just didn't really work. So maybe the more experimental.
That's
the risky stuff. Yeah, the seconds.
Those in the garage sale seconds. You know?
Right, yeah.
Although it's good to keep some of your early pieces, right?
Yeah, for the museums later.
That's
definitely.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Look, David Homer, he's been, how long have you been doing this photography stuff?
Photography? Oh, God. Since I was a youngin, probably close to 12 years now.
Yeah, that's what
I started with a tiny little 1.2 megapixel camera, just a teen. Oh, God.
Jeez, how old are you?
Oh, ages.
Okay, now I'll ask and I'll have to answer. How old are you, David?
I am 27.
Yeah. So when he says 12 years, that's young.
Yes, but that's very young.
But that's great to be able to start at that time. Alyssa, did you grow up here too?
Or yes, I
you did.
Born and raised in Astoria, graduated from Astoria High School in 2010.
Wow.
And then came straight up to Clatsop and spent 2.5 years there.
And so let me throw this out to all of you. Mm-hmm. Do you think that it's important that Clatsop Community College have an art department?
Oh, absolutely.
We're not biased at all.
Especially like myself, I come from absolutely no art background. I'm 42 years old now, and 4 or 5 years ago, after a bad sickness, I almost died. I came up to the college, and my first ceramics class, I took the second term I was there, and that was it for me. It was a whole new world. It's a great supportive environment. We have access to things in this school that I think a lot of big universities don't even have, especially like in the ceramic program and in all the programs. We have extreme opportunities in a beautiful studio.
And personal,
growth.
Interaction.
Yes. Huge.
Growth.
Yeah.
And
yes.
I can honestly say that I would not be where I am today if it wasn't for Clatsop.
Wow. For the art department
at
Community College.
Yes.
Okay, folks, listening, you know where I'm going with this. This is Arts Live and Local. You know how I feel about it, and this is why we in this community need to be sure to support our art department at the college. Let folks know, let the board know, let the president know, let your friends know that this is an important resource for our town, for our young people, and our not-so-young people, because lots of us here have been taking these classes.
Amen.
Last word?
One more thing. We did want to mention that we will have some cash prizes for a few of the students. I don't know the exact categories, but that's one thing that we do look forward to as a student body.
But you do have to have been a student
in order
to enter.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so come to this, because it's going to be, the openings are always terrific. This is May 16th. It will be a Thursday. It's in a couple of weeks, but we needed to get them in now. Check it out, 6 p.m. at the college. Thank you so much,
all of you.
Lots of luck to all you graduates and to you brand new instructor. This is terrific.
Ooh.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
I've got some music coming up from my last guest, and this is something that is happening this evening. We have the Consort of All Sorts, a musical journey. And have a listen, and then we'll have our last guest here on Coast Community Radio. Thanks for being here. This music is very lovely, and I'm going to let my guests tell you what it is and why we're listening to it. And my guests are Charles Schweigert, who will be playing several instruments in the flute department, and Drew Herzig in the voice department, although he is carrying, what is that you're carrying?
It's an Irish frame drum called a baron.
Ah, okay. So the music we're hearing is what?
It's an old Irish tune from, it dates back to the 18th century. It's called Morgan Magan, and it was written by Turlough O'Carolan.
Oh, yes.
It's a very famous tune, and it's arranged here for two wind instruments and cello and drum.
Well, it's interesting because when I read that this was a musical journey through France, Germany, and the British Isles, with English folk songs arranged by Benjamin Britten and Celtic music arranged by Carol Rabinowitz, a good
Irish name.
Solid Irish name. I'd know it anywhere. I wondered how you were switching from classical to folk, but I see now you're not, because this is definitely in the classical vein. It's quite delightful.
Well, all the Irish tunes date to the Baroque era anyway, so they fit right in. We're talking about the 18th century, and you know, even these old Irish tunes have their roots in that era.
So do you know who composed these tunes, or do we not know about that? Is it in the public domain at this point? And kind of,
well, but for most of them, we don't know who composed them, except for that one, the Morgan Maiden one.
Mm-hmm.
That relates, you know, to the Celtic tunes, but we know who did the Baroque tunes.
Tell us who you're going to be doing. And who's going to be doing them? Who's happening tonight?
It's not how long
this
it takes
tonight,
who's
folks.
Taking you, yes.
It's no radio virgins here, you can tell. This is happening tonight at 7:30 right here in Astoria at Grace Episcopal on 1545 Franklin.
And it's free.
Yes. And, of course, when anything's free, there's usually a donation bucket around, but it is open. And I did want to just mention that I believe I stopped at Grace Episcopal today because they have a plant and art sale from 10 to 3, and that will be tomorrow. But tonight is music. So who are you going to be playing?
Well, we're going to be doing three trio sonatas from the 18th century, and we're going to span Germany and France. We'll do two from Germany by Quantz and Telemann, and then two pieces from France by Odeter and Naudot. These are multi-movement pieces, and they're very Baroque, but they're very accessible Baroque.
Yeah, accessible Baroque. Actually, I happen to love Baroque music, but I'm a little embarrassed, although I don't have to tell anybody, but I'm going to make a public confession. I never heard of any of those people except Telemann. So who are these guys?
Well, the other three were actually multi-talented. Quantz, Odeter, and Naudot were not only composers, they were also flute players and flute makers.
Oh.
They made a lot of really fine flutes and other woodwind instruments.
And you are playing?
Well, I play what today we call the Baroque flute. Back in the 18th century, it was simply called the flute. That's
what
really all
like?
There was.
What does it look like?
It's played similarly to the modern flute, but it's entirely made of wood, and it has only one key. Sometimes they'll have ivory rings on them, so they look very elegant, and they're very elegant to hold. I love playing it because it has a very sweet, mellow tone. As opposed to the more brash sound of the modern silver flute.
When you say one key, are you meaning as in A, B, C, D?
Oh,
or are you meaning...
No, one metal key.
One metal key.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So you have a direct connection with the flute. I mean, your fingers are right on the holes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only that one little metal key that... You know, reminds you that it's not all wood.
Mm-hmm.
The flutes do come in different pitches, though, so depending on the piece, Charlie has to carry a spare flute.
Mm-hmm. A spare. How many flutes?
Well, one of the French pieces we're doing, the Odeter piece, is a duo between myself and a recorder player, and we have flutes that are both pitched slightly different from modern pitch. They're a half a step lower. So I've got to be careful which flute I'm playing because I've been really clashed with the others.
Do they look alike? The
fortunately
two
not.
No.
They're similar, but one's sort of black and the other's yellow. So
okay,
that's
so you can, if you remember which is which, you can tell them apart. And then who else is playing? You're in the flute.
Well, Hannah-Laura Morgan is playing recorders. Mm-hmm. She plays both tenor and alto recorders. Judy Woodward is playing cello, and Barbara Bates is playing the piano, right. And she's going to be accompanying Drew, who's our singer.
Oh.
He has a wonderful baritone voice.
Wow. What are you going to be singing then?
Three Celtic songs, one English, one Irish, and one Scottish. You've heard of Loch Lomond, so I'll be singing that. And then there's a beautiful old English tune called Early One Morning. And the Irish tune is Down by the Sally Garden, which was actually written by W.B. Yeats to a traditional tune. Yes.
Okay. Now, those are the English then?
The Early One Morning is English. Down by the Sally Garden is Irish, and Loch Lomond is Scottish.
Okay. Are you going to be singing them in Irish and Gaelic or something like that, or are you sticking to English?
I'm sticking to English. Thank you very much.
He has a wonderful Scottish accent on Loch Lomond that you can't miss.
Okay. but you decided to do the English version.
I'm leaving the kilt at home.
Too bad. Yes, that would be kind of fun. Yeah. Well, this is all happening tonight at Grace Episcopal, which is 1545 Franklin. Just right up the block from KMUN. It's at 7:30. And will you be in the
sanctuary?
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely. It's a lovely space.
And it has some of the best acoustics in the city.
Wow, really nice. Very, very nice. Okay, well, anything else we need to... Well, the name of this group, is this the real name, Consort of All Sorts? It sounds like something out of the candy bag.
Yes, I told Charlie that's the licorice all sorts of traditional English candy.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. I love those. Yeah. Junk, but they're real, but I'm sure your music will be much better. So it is the Early Music Ensemble with a musical journey through France, Germany, and the British Isles tonight, 7:30 at Grace Episcopal. My guests are Charlie Schweigert on flutes and Drew Herzig on voice, and join them this evening. Is by the way, has this group done other concerts before?
Oh, this is our very first.
So there is a virgin experience.
Yes, okay. Yes.
We got there. Thank you so much for coming in.
Also mention that this is actually a fundraiser for the food pantry at Grace Episcopal.
Oh, okay.
And we will be taking donations.
Okay, excellent. Okay.
But otherwise, the concert is free.
Right. And of course, these are all volunteers. What else is new in Astoria? Okay, thank you so much for coming in.